Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, on this depressingly snowy Sunday here in Western New York. I don't know. I don't look out the window right away when I get up in the morning. I was just up and in the shower and, you know, you get your routine going. And I didn't really look out the window until about after I'd been awake for, I don't know, 45 minutes, half hour. And I just stared and just like, are you kidding me? Like, I knew it was going to snow. It wasn't a surprise, but still, just to see it for the first time this morning was just like, ugh, snow. I mean, luckily, it's not sticking to the ground, at least, you know, not where I live. So you didn't have to shovel or nothing. Didn't have to clean off both cars this morning. But still, it's like, man, can we be done with this? Hopefully soon. It is the last day of March, of course. April 1st rolls around tomorrow. So hopefully, since it is officially spring, maybe we could stop with the snow anytime now. Would be great. Thanks, Mother Nature. Anyway, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Phone lines are open for you this morning. Race fans, talk about anything going on in the world of motorsports. We've got NASCAR in Texas today for today's race out there in the Lone Star State. And Jimmy Johnson on the pole. Jimmy Johnson performing well. What? That hasn't happened a whole lot this year. He was miserable last week in Martinsville, but he's on the pole today at Texas for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 with teammate William Byron on the front row. Is today the day the Chevy wakes up and gets their first win of the season, as it's been a JGR versus Penske battle here so far through the first six races of the year, with each team winning three races apiece, including two for Brad Keselowski and two for Kyle Busch so far here in 2019. Will Chevy finally snap their funk here to start the year, and led by possibly the 48 team, turning things around as they've been off to a rough start. But the big thing we're talking about this morning is this week we got our first look at the schedule for the Cup Series for 2020. And we've been talking a bit about how there's a lot of change coming to the sport, for NASCAR at least, when it comes to 2020 and 2021, with the continuing rules package evolvement, a potential new car, a Gen 7 car, schedule changes, the end of the sanctioning, 5-year sanctioning agreement with the tracks, NASCAR's takeover of ARCA, NASCAR's takeover of ISC, all this, the new sponsorship for the series sponsors. It won't be a Monster Energy Cup Series next year. It'll be called something else, and there'll be more sponsors involved. You know, how it's all going to look, and we're starting to slowly get glimpse of what NASCAR 2020 and 2021 are going to look like. And this was a big part of it with the 2020 schedule. That's what we're talking about here this morning to start the program. And would love your thoughts at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. And also, we're going to talk more about it with one of the tracks that was affected with the new schedule. Well, of course, the one closest to us at Watkins Glen International. As one of our favorites here in the program, Michael Printup, the president of Watkins Glen International, is going to join us in about 10 minutes to talk about Watkins Glen's stance and maybe give us some behind the scenes look of what went into the schedule changes for 2020, because one of the changes on the schedule is the fact that Watkins Glen International's date on the Cup Series, it's still there, but it is 2 weeks later. It is going to be August 16th in 2020, shifting 2 weeks forward from its traditional, usually that first weekend of August. That usually is when the Cup weekend at the Glen falls, and next year it's going to be August 16th. This year it's still first week in August, but 2020 is moved ahead 2 weeks, so that is going to be a bit of a change, for maybe more for some people than others. But if you plan your summer vacations or taking off from work or whatever, because you go to the Cup race at Watkins Glen every year, be sure to take the right weekend off next year, because it is 2 weeks later. So we're going to talk to Michael Printup about that and the schedule in general, and what the future holds for Watkins Glen's dates on the Cup schedule going forward. I don't think they're in danger of losing the race because of how exciting that race has become and how popular road course racing has become. which is a different tune than maybe 20 years ago, when, especially before ISC bought the facility, when there was questions every year, was NASCAR coming back to the Glen every year? That was kind of a big question mark for especially, you know, when the Budweiser sponsorship went away and they had all those different sponsors. They had Centurion Boats and Sirius Radio and hell of a good sour cream dips at the Glen. Well, that was more an ISC thing, but just the late mid to late 90s into the early 2000s, especially when there's a lot of New York City NASCAR talk. Actually, Michael Princip was kind of part of that, trying to bring a track to New York City. The Glen might have lost its date, but now it's kind of firmly entrenched in the schedule and it's a big part of the sport. But we will talk to Michael Princip as we look at the 2020 schedule. And really the best way to look at it is to kind of start from the end and work backwards, because the big changes are towards the end of the schedule, especially the where the schedule ends. Because in 2020, no longer will the major national series champions be crowned at Homestead Miami Speedway. They'll be crowned at Phoenix, or ISM Raceway as it's known now, but I'm still going to call it Phoenix International Raceway for now. But Phoenix is now the final race on the schedule for the Cup Series, and probably most definitely, although their schedules haven't come out yet, the Xfinity Truck Series as well. So Phoenix, with all the money that ISC dumped into that facility and all the changes they've done over there, and you know, reconfiguring the track and everything and the new infield, all that work is now making it the facility to host the championship, which is both a good and a bad thing. I think it's, you know, great. I love going to Phoenix. I talk about it all the time. I've been there and love watching racing there. It's puts on some interesting racing. You know, it's not a mile and a half track, and it usually puts on exciting racing, so that's great. But then Homestead not being that championship location, I think that's terrible for Homestead Miami Speedway. They're really losing out. They still keep their date in 2020, but it moves all the way back to March, late March, March 22nd, so would have been, you know, like the equivalent of last weekend from a year from now, you know, 51 weeks from now, they'll be in Homestead Miami Speedway. So that really hurts, because Homestead was kind of this, you know, it's provided some great racing in the last years, especially with the playoffs, but I think the drama of the playoffs has added to that. But just some race in mid-March now, is it going to be as exciting going to Homestead Miami Speedway? You know, the market of Miami, how are the fans there going to respond? They're going to have, you know, spring training baseball and other, you know, there's other sporting events in and around that weekend in the Florida area. You know, how are the fans going to react? It could be a good thing for people that like to travel to races, you know, going to Miami in mid-March, you know, spring break and just getting, you know, snowbirds and all that. That could be a good thing. But really, I think that really hurts the Homestead date on the schedule, because a lot of the intrigue out of that date was the fact that it was the championship race of the year. The final race of the year, so there was that added intrigue, made it so much better. Plus, I like the fact that it was a track they only went to once a year, whereas Phoenix, they go twice a year. So teams kind of had a notebook, but I guess that was one of the wild card options of the championship being held at Homestead, was that it wasn't a track they go to earlier in the season. So they have a notebook from years prior, but they haven't been at that track of the year. So I thought that added some intrigue on top of it. But that is the big change for 2020. Also, and I should have prefaced this right at the beginning, my bad on this, but the schedule is going to change even more in 2021. NASCAR has been kind of in this box. They've had five-year agreements with all the tracks. I did mention that before. So they couldn't take any races away from tracks for 2020, because it's the last year of the agreement. So 2021, you're going to likely see some other changes where tracks could be losing race dates. Some tracks may go from 2-1. Some new tracks might get added. You know, they might condense the schedule. So that could be coming in 2021. So NASCAR wanted to change the schedule for 2020, but again, was still in this box of being in the final year of these five-year agreements. So we'll break down more with the changes to the schedule. There's a lot to get through, but unfortunately, we have to go to the Western Hotline and bring in one of our favorites here on the program, the president of Watkins Glen International, Hamburg native, Michael Princip, is back on the line. Michael, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Buchanan. How are you?
Doing well. It's a little bit later in the season that we get you on the line, but great to talk to you once again here in the 2019 season. And we're just talking about the schedule for 2020, and one of the dates that have moved around in the schedule is, of course, your date on the Cup Series schedule, where it's moved ahead 2 weeks to 2020 for next year. Just real quick, just your thoughts on where you land on the schedule and just how all that came to be with working with NASCAR to make that date happen.
Yeah, you know, it's next year's the Olympics year, so yep. You know, it's always been troubling for us to run against the Olympics. It'd be like running. It'd be like us running against the NFL or my favorite team, the Bulls. And hopefully it's just a change for 1 year. We've been on that weekend for so long, and it's hard to move dates, but we all know it's for the better of the sport. So.
Yes, for those that aren't aware, I didn't get a chance to go through all the changes before we got Michael on here this morning, but NASCAR is taking 2 weeks off. The last weekend in July, the first week in August are going to be off weekends, and that is basically because NBC told NASCAR, you know, why don't you guys just take those 2 weeks off so we can focus on the Olympics, and we're not putting, you know, the Watkins Glen race on CNBC or something the first week of August. Really, that simple, Mike, black and white, that was just simply because of the Olympics is the reason for the date shift?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we didn't request it, but I think it's smart for NBC and NASCAR to consider that because, you know, we weren't thinking about 2020 yet, but when they did the schedule, it all worked out, and we're pretty, you know, we're content. It's still the summer. It's a lot of fun to have NASCAR and Watkins Glen in August.
How much, you know, we just found out this week, but how long have you known that this was going to be coming? How long have these schedule talks been going on?
Well, they've been going on for all winter, but candidly, we found out about 2 weeks prior to the announcement. So we hadn't known a long time, but contractually NASCAR has the right to move our date 2 weeks either way of our current date. So, again, it was a smart move for NBC.
Sure.
For Watkins Glen and for NASCAR.
When you look at the schedule, the whole, Michael, a lot of facilities moving around. Another one of the big changes is Daytona, the traditional, you know, Firecracker 400 4th of July weekend race. That is moving to the end of the regular season on August 29th, you know, the Southern 500, now the playoff kickoff race. What did you think about some of the other bigger changes to the schedule and some of your sister ISC facilities?
Yeah, I think there were some awesome decisions there, and I'm really basing that off the fan reaction on social media. You know, 90% of the comments were all positive about the date change. So if the fans think it's great, then of course I think it's great. So not to be a follower, but we all live and die by what the fans think of our sport. So I think Phoenix closing out the season, I think that's awesome. I really enjoyed that move. Versus Homestead, and nothing against Homestead, but I think it was time for a change, and I think Phoenix is a great place to be in November.
And of course, with the changes, this puts you kind of a little. Everybody knows Watkins Glen is such a big race in August because it is towards the end of the regular season. It's that last road course race, but now you're just three races out from the end of the regular season. So if guys were already stressed out coming to your facility, Michael, they're going to have a little more stress in 2020. It looks like.
Yeah, you know, Watkins Glen, you know, those drivers put on a heck of a show. So, you know, we're hoping, you know, it's closer to that. You know, it means more and more and more to obviously make the playoff and the playoffs in the chase. So I think it's awesome that our position, our racing, the criticality of the playoffs, I think we're in a perfect spot. And, you know, we're going for our fifth sellout again this year. We're tracking ahead of last year, so we'll do it again next year and make it 6 years in a row.
Another facility very close to you guys is, of course, the Pocono Raceway there in Pennsylvania. I know you usually go there and, you know, go hang out and talk to the folks over there, the Mattioli family and everybody at Pocono, and you kind of do your homework preparing for your date over there at Pocono. They have a unique twist on their races next year because they'll both be on the same weekend, that last weekend in June. It's a first ever, as long as I can remember, Cup doubleheader at one racetrack where they're going to host Cup races Saturday and Sunday. What did you think about that move by NASCAR and the folks at Pocono?
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, I'm glad that they're doing it in June because it separates us in August. As you know, prior to the schedule, they were 1 week or 2 weeks ahead of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just kind of drains the Northeast for attendance. I mean, even though we're selling out, I mean, we know we can put a lot more people at Watkins Glen. So I'm glad that they're doing it. I don't know about the doubleheader. I guess we'll wait and see. It's my same hesitation that I have on the road. I mean, it's not a real road course. Only us in Sonoma are the real road courses. Sonoma and WGI are selfish in that way, but we have a right to be. We are a true, both of us are true road courses in North America. But I don't know. I'm glad, again, I'm glad that the dates moved in there in June. The doubleheader, you know, I don't know what that really does. Time will tell, I guess.
Michael Prince up from Watkins Glen International joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Well, you know where you're going to be in 2020. What about 2021? Have there been discussions yet? I'm assuming you guys will just go back to your traditional first week of August date, but I guess nothing could be set in stone yet for 2021. But are the discussions already being held for that schedule as of yet?
No, they're not. And I did ask. I said, okay, if we're moving for 2020, what about 2021? They goes, we'll talk about that next year. Mm. That's the response. So I'm assuming that we would go back to our traditional because, again, 30-something years of in your traditional spot is something to be recognized. And with us selling out and always having one of the best races in the country, I think that NASCAR obviously understands and appreciates that. We appreciate them. So we're hoping we go back, but no, we haven't had those discussions yet.
It really, I mean, you're the next 2 years, your team's going to have its work cut out for them. You've got to kind of educate your fan base now. You've got over a year to do it. You've got a year and a half to do it, but you've got to educate everybody now that the date is shifted for 2020, and you may have to do it all over again next year with another date change. It's going to, I'm sure you guys are already... your marketing team probably already trying to come up with strategies to kind of get the word out for these schedule changes, I bet.
Yeah, no question. You know, that's the hard thing. You know, date equity, again, having that first week of August for so many years, decades, date equity is the biggest thing any sport or any venue can have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then you constantly just market off of that. So you're absolutely correct. I mean, we're already working on our messaging. We're already talking about what kind of communication we're going to have with the fans during the race weekend this year. You say a year and a half, it seems like a long time, but it's not that long.
Sure.
And you've got to change people's habits. You know, mm-hmm. You know, if you take off work that whole week,
yep.
All of a sudden you've got to change, and maybe your business doesn't allow that. You know, so, you know, we're going to keep looking and keep marketing and keep pounding the pavement in terms of delivering that messaging. But I think it is good we have a year and a half, but it'll go by very quickly.
And it's a trickle-down thing, too. I mean, not only do you guys got to shift your focus, I mean, the area, all the hotels, all the restaurants, everybody that staffs up or, you know, adjust their rates and everything that weekend, they've got to make adjustments. I mean, the short tracks in the area. I mean, we have the Race of Champions series that I work with. We've had that race at Chemung Speedrome that weekend on purpose. That's probably going to have to move next year. There's a lot of trickle down. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out here over the next couple of years. Mike, let's just talk about your facility here for 2019. Anything big, new, and exciting that we should be looking forward to this season at Watkins Glen?
Yeah, as long as you don't tell anybody, I'll let you know. Okay.
Okay.
So we're doing some paving. We're having some fan display areas enhanced. So instead of grass, we're making it a hard surface. But I think the biggest thing that we're really working on this year is you know, we have the infamous berm, the general admission berm in the final turn,
mm-hmm.
turn 11, has been there for 50, 60 years.
Sure.
We are now going to put another grassy berm in turn one. So we're going to build that big hill in turn one.
Hmm.
So anybody for general admission can bring their chair and hang out. We're going to put cabanas on the top, kind of make it a little bit Hollywoodish, and have private cabanas up there so you can buy them for 10 and but then there'll be a big grassy knoll, and it'll be an awesome view because you figure coming down the front stretch, turning right in turn one,
yeah.
going up the S's, and then you have a big screen right in front of you, so you never miss the action. But the view from that grassy knoll for general admission folks is going to be awesome. We're plumb just running out of space for general admission, and
yeah.
we always sell out the grandstand, so... we figure let's get creative and create some more areas for general admission folks to hang out, bring a blanket, bring a chair, bring your umbrella, and just kind of hang out and watch some awesome racing in a general admission.
So
that's the big one.
Pardon my ignorance, but I'm just trying to picture this in my head. Are you eliminating some grandstands in that area, or is this in an area where there currently aren't any grandstands? I'm just trying to picture turn one there going up to the S's in my head.
Yeah, there's in turn one. We're not eliminating grandstands. We're going to add next to the grandstand.
Okay.
There's a grandstand there that seats now about 8,000 people,
mm.
and there's about 400 feet of area right there that we can build up And so, yeah, we're just going to be, it'll be additional. It won't be subjective.
Gotcha. I was just trying to picture in my head and trying to figure out where that was going to be. But thank you for clearing that up. So adding more seating to just to, as you said, to accommodate those general admission folks. And of course, next weekend is your opening weekend, and hopefully the weather's a little bit better next weekend. But tell the folks what they can come do at Watkins Glen next weekend, Michael.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, we're here for the year. It started off as a walk. It turned into a bike, and then about 15 years ago, turned it into why not bring your own car and actually drive the racetrack. And you've heard me say it before. It's like you can't go play in the Buffalo Bills Stadium. You can't go throw pitches at Yankee Stadium. But you can. And we're some of the most famous people in the world that played football and baseball. But you can come to Watkins Glen, where the most famous racers in the world have raced, from Mario Andretti, all the way down to Fittipaldi and everybody else, and Elio Castroneves, the list goes on. So you can come drive the racetrack. So for $25, and it's all charity. That's the best thing, is we pick a bunch of charities and we donate the money to them. But you can come drive the, take three laps. So we'll do about 4,000 cars that weekend.
Wow.
And people come from all over. We get about 1,000 cars out of one club just out of Rochester alone. So we get some great clubs out of Buffalo. A lot of people come down. It's nice. I don't know what it's like in Buffalo today.
Oh.
We had 68 and sunny yesterday, and today it's 50. So
I had to brush my car off this morning, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Dave. Being a Buffalo boy, I understand and remember that. But, it looks like the weather will be like 50, 60 next weekend. So, rain or shine, we do it. And it's a lot of fun. And like I said, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, come drive your car. And again, it's all for good causes, for charity.
And all the favorite dates are back on the schedule. The SCCA in late June, of course, the Salem 6 Hours in late June. Go Bowling at the Glen, of course, for the Cup Series this year, the first week in August. And then you've got Labor Day and the Vintage Grand Prix the weekend after. So all the traditional fan favorite events are back on the schedule here for this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kicking off the season, and Joe Salen and the Salen Packing Company, I mean, obviously we couldn't have a better recognized Buffalo brand. And as you probably also know, we signed a deal with Genesee this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, which is based out of Buffalo, N.A. So we're really excited about that, having Genesee Beer back at the Glen, because they were here in the 60s and 70s with Formula One. So we couldn't be more excited. And as you know, even went off where you have Woodstock, the 50th
yes.
anniversary this year as well.
Yes, I know, just quickly for folks that don't know, the 50th anniversary Woodstock is going to be at Watkins Glen, but really you guys are just kind of hosting it, and really the everything else is being done by other people. But I'm sure you're glad to have this large major event in music going to be happening in your facility this year.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. I mean, 50th anniversary, it'll all be new. And if you look at the lineup, you know, it's all a newer lineup. My 21-year-old and 15-year-old were really excited about it. Not that I'm not excited about it, but you're right. We're just the landlord. We rented the facility to them. But Michael Lang, the original producer and owner of Woodstock, is bringing the show back. And they selected Watkins Glen because we can fit a lot of people. So we expect, you know, 100,000 people plus per day. So it'll be a nice, great summer show this year, so we're looking forward to it.
Very good. Last thing before we let you go, I'd like to bug you about this maybe once a year, but of course you had the IndyCar series not that long ago, had some great races. Labor Day weekend weren't on the schedule last year. Has there been any talks with IndyCar recently with maybe getting back on the schedule in the near future?
No, not yet. I mean, Jay and I keep in touch. We just texted each other the other day. Jay Fry, the president and CEO of IndyCar. We're a good friend, so we stay in touch, but we haven't started discussing 2020. I think logically they're going through some changes, as well as obviously as you just saw in NASCAR. So we want to make sure we secure our date back for 21, and I think that Jay and I will probably get on the phone. So I am speaking with his wife, though, because there was some confusion in Indianapolis. His wife runs the USAC program, and we're going to bring the USACs to Watkins Glen during Cup weekend next year. So we're real excited about that. We're going to carve out a big piece of the parking lot on the infield.
Wait, dirt racing at Watkins Glen, is that what you're telling us, Michael?
No, it'll be pavement.
Oh, You just got a lot of people really excited there for a minute, but this is still cool. So you're going to run a USAC, what is it, Silver Crown Sprint Cars? Now we got to go long because you got to tell me more about this.
Well, it's the youth program, so it's the karting program.
Okay.
So we're really excited about that because it's obviously the youth is where we start our racing fans, and it was Danielle's idea, Walking Glen idea. And, again, she's the wife of Jay Fry, the president of IndyCar. So we're looking forward to it. But you know what? Don't be apologetic for your comment because we are looking maybe at creating a dirt track in Watkins Glen in the future, next couple of years.
You're just playing with her, aren't you? Or is this real?
No, it's real.
Wow.
We've started it. We started the construction and ideas and starting to take a look at what we could do. We're looking at, we're looking at putting a dirt track inside the boot. There's a lot of grass in there, and it's like we're just wasting land there. So we're thinking about, and it's a natural amphitheater, as you know, because it's down, you got a big hills around it. So we're thinking that we can do it. So we started the design and looking at it. So.
Wow. You're just blowing a lot of minds this morning, Michael. That is super awesome. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for coming on this morning and talk a bit about the schedule and everything, and looking forward to heading back your way this August for the GoBowling.com at the Glen. Michael, have a great opening weekend next weekend, and I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Michael Printup.
All right, bye-bye.
Breaking news and blowing minds this morning here on Fast Track. Watkins Glen thinking of putting a dirt track in the boot. Wait, tomorrow's April Fool's. I don't know. He's looking into it, he says, although tomorrow is April Fool's. Who knows? We'll take it for what it's worth. Wow, that's pretty cool. All right, we get back. We'll talk more about some of the schedule changes, today's race at Texas, and your phone calls. What do you think? Dirt racing at Watkins Glen. You heard it here first, right here on Fast Track.
This is Jimmy Johnson, driver of the Ally Chevrolet. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
And the 7-time champions on the pole today at Texas for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. 11:33 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Still trying to compose myself after Michael Printup told us that Watkins Glen's looking to put a dirt track in the boot. He's actually said that. So, crazy. They're also going to hold, I believe he meant to say, he said go-kart race. I think he might have said quarter midget races because he mentioned USAC, but on a paved track at the at Watkins Glen next year during NASCAR weekend. So that's also pretty interesting news. But dirt track in the boot at the Glen. If he wasn't, like I said, tomorrow is April Fool's, but if he's serious, holy cow, that'll be something neat. 11:34 here on WGR's Fast Track. Dave Buchanan here. Quickly look at the lineup for today's race at Texas. As I said, Jimmy Johnson on the pole, William Byron joining him on the front row. Chevy front row, Hendrick front row, and make Chevy top three as Chase Elliott qualified third, Hendrick top three. Daniel Suarez fourth, who did it all by his lonesome in qualifying. He didn't wait for the pack to sit on pit road for 10 minutes. He went out there on his own and qualified fourth. Good for him. Austin Dillon, Denny Hamlin in row three. Daniel Hemric, again, impressive qualifying performance from that young man in seventh alongside Joey Logano. Interesting row five, Ty Dillon, Bubba Wallace, good performances for them in qualifying. Running out the top 10, you've got Eric Jones and Brad Keselowski in row six. Ryan Blaney qualifying 13th. Kyle Busch looking for the weekend sweep again this year, qualifying in 16th. Martin Truex is 20th. Kyle Larson 22nd. Kevin Harvick 23rd. Clint Bowyer, not real thrilled with qualifying on Friday afternoon. Qualified 25th, Ryan Preece in 27th, Kurt Busch back in 30th. Qualifying continued to be a face-palming experience as despite some of NASCAR's tweaks, the guys still pulled out of the stalls and then managed to sit on pit road until almost the last possible second, except for Daniel Suarez. And actually, he and Eric Jones there at the last session. But NASCAR's going to have to continue to look at this qualifying rules as with this aero package. Guys want to go out there in one big pack, and they sit and wait there until the last possible second. It just looks embarrassing to me when they do it because I think it's silly when they just sit there. And they tried to tell the guys not to block pit road, and Ryan Newman blocked Clint Bowyer, and Bowyer had a great animated interview, one of his all-time best, and he's had some great animated interviews in the sport in recent years, but he gave a great post-qualifying interview with Jamie Little on Friday expressing his frustration with the whole system, but NASCAR is going to have to continue to look at the qualifying procedures for these mile-and-a-half tracks when these guys all want to go out there at once, but you know, just want to sit there on pit road at the last possible minute, and it's pretty bad. So luckily, they have Bristol next week, so they'll have another week to probably look at this, or Bristol and Richmond, they'll have a couple weeks to kind of look at it before they have to make changes to everything. But that was just, again, I just might as well just cut it. Just either, if they want to go out in a group, then either just say you have to go when we start the session, or cut the session down to like 3 minutes so they don't bother sitting there wasting everybody's time for 7-8 minutes. It's just silly. So there's your lineup for today's race. Quickly try and mention some of the other changes to the 2020 schedule. We started to, but then Michael came on, and we tried to hit some of those with Michael as well, too. But again, the schedule will finish at Phoenix. Martinsville becomes the last pre-championship race that the we'll go through the playoffs. So you've got, instead of Texas, Martinsville, Phoenix, that kind of last round of the playoffs before setting the championship four, it's now Kansas, Texas, Martinsville. The round before that is Vegas, Talladega, and then Charlotte, which will likely still be the Roval in 2020. So you got Super Speedway, sort of road course there, rounding out the round of 12. And then the first round of the playoffs now is Darlington, Southern 500, which will still be Labor Day weekend, Richmond, and Bristol. So Darlington and two short tracks. That's pretty cool, too. And plus, Bristol is on my birthday in 2020. So the Bristol night race now no longer in August, but now in mid-September. But still also shifts to a postseason race, so make that a little bit better as well, too. So I love how the playoffs are stacked up. I think it's those races to round out those rounds. You got Bristol, Roval, and Martinsville. So on top of them already being crazy races as it is, now they're on, you know, racetracks that lend themselves to crashes and high dramatic moments. So playoff, I love the playoffs. Again, not thrilled with Homestead moving. As much as I like Phoenix being that championship race, I don't like the fact that Homestead's now back in March. But besides that, love the playoffs. So the regular season will end with Daytona. So again, no more Firecracker 400 4th of July weekend. You've now got Daytona in late August, hurricane season, although again, the chances of that are slim, but still, that's going to be weird, having the regular season finale on a play track and at Daytona. So your regular season starts and ends at Daytona. That is interesting, but I guess I'll take a wait and see on how that's going to play out next year. And then you keep backing up into August. Before that, Dover, again, Watkins Glen, Michigan, and then those 2 weeks off, as we talked about Michael Prince up, NBC pretty much, I'm sure, just telling NASCAR, but getting them to agree to the fact they should just take 2 weeks off during the Olympics so NBC can focus their coverage on that, and so they're not forced to put races on CNBC or Bravo or something. So you've got August, so you've got the first weekend of August off, and then you got Michigan, Glen, Dover, and then Daytona to round out the regular season. Going back into the summer, not a lot of changes except for Indianapolis is now the 4th of July weekend race. You know, that facility continues to is historic, and as amazing as it is, it has not been kind to NASCAR in recent years. It's now it was in August or in late July, then it became the regular season finale last year and this year. It's now in September. Now it's going back to 4th of July. I really wouldn't be surprised if it's not even on the schedule in 2021, as much as I'm sure NASCAR likes going to Indianapolis. You know, that'd be one of the races. If I was writing up the 2021 schedule, that'd be one of the races I'd love to get rid of, just because it doesn't lend itself to great racing with stock cars. I mean, the Indianapolis 500 is the greatest race in the world, but the cup race has not been great. So unless the racing get better there, I mean, the attendance has been down, just take it off the schedule, in my opinion. So that might be one step towards that, with Indianapolis being 4th of July weekend in 2020. The weekend before that, as we talked about Michael Prince up, Pocono hosting a doubleheader. Instead of having two summer cup weekends at Pocono, they've now combined them to one weekend, which will be interesting. They're going to run a cup race Saturday and a cup race Sunday. A lot of the logistics and minutiae that I'm sure a lot of people are asking about has not been sorted out. Really, all they know is they're going to have a doubleheader weekend, and that's about all we know so far. Don't know how long the races are going to be, you know, what happens if it rains, all that stuff. I don't think they've gotten that far yet, at least not publicly. But they've also said there's still going to be Xfinity and ARCA, and I think even a truck race that weekend. So maybe as much as five races that weekend at Pocono. That's going to be crazy. But again, with the chances it rains at Pocono happening so often? You know, are we running one race on a Monday potentially if one rains out? If they both rain out, then what happens? A lot of questions, and Pocono is working on, I think, answering on all those. But we'll see how that plays out. I think possibly with the Pocono doubleheader aspect, it might be a test run to save them having two races on the schedule come 2021, because that was another one where they could possibly lose a race once these sanctioning agreements end. So either the doubleheader weekend is great and they do it again in 2021, or it doesn't go so well. All right, Pocono, thanks. We're going to cut you, though, to one race date in 2021. We'll see what happens there. So, but that also takes a race weekend out of the schedule, which is why we're still finishing a couple of weeks earlier than they normally do next season. Again, backing up the schedule here for 2020 for the Cup Series. So that puts us at end of June. Chicago mid-June, I think that's a slight change, but then Sonoma's got its kind of traditional June date. Michigan, Kansas, the All-Star races, no change there. Martinsville now moves to, that's the other big thing. Martinsville moves to Mother's Day weekend, and it's a Saturday night race. Night racing at Martinsville, finally going to happen for the Cup Series. Of course, they put lights in last year. They held their big late model race in September under the lights last year, and there's been some, but there hasn't been a NASCAR major touring series event under the lights yet at Martinsville. We're going to get that next year on Mother's Day weekend. So that is going to be amazing to see a cup race under the lights at Martinsville. Going back to that Mother's Day Saturday. So that should be wild. That was one of the other big changes on the schedule. Then before that, backing up again, first weekend of May is Dover. Then before that, Talladega, Richmond off for Easter. Bristol is the first week in April, which is the same. Texas, last weekend of March, which will, again, same as this year. Then, again, we mentioned Homestead's now March 22nd. I've already talked about that. And Atlanta now also moves up a little bit. They have been the second race, the race after Daytona the last few years. That now they have moved after the West Coast swing instead of before it. They've backed up the West Coast swing, so they go Daytona, Vegas, California, Phoenix, and then Atlanta. So that, I think, buys Atlanta about a few weeks worth of good weather. Right in the middle, though, of college basketball season, Atlanta's such a fickle sports market as it is. You know, take it for what it's worth. But they still remain a spring race, but they do move up a few weeks, so maybe less of a chance of bad weather there by moving up about 3-4 weeks there for the folks at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So I'm glad they've started to make the changes. Well, they're not done yet. We didn't get midweek races like some people had wanted. That might not be until 2021. Again, no new tracks next year because of the sanctioning agreements. You know, who's going to come in? Who's going to go out? There's been talks of the short track in Nashville going on the Cup schedule in the future. That might happen. What other tracks could they put onto the schedule? It remains to be seen, but obviously this is a step in the right direction. Again, with the box they were stuck in with the sanctioning agreements, I like it so far. And but some changes, the questions will remain until the events take place. So we've got over almost two full years or over a year to figure out you know, what's going to happen. And we won't know until it really happens, I guess, for some of these, especially the Homestead, the regular season finale at Daytona. We'll take a wait and see approach on those. But some of the other changes, ending at Phoenix, the night race at Martinsville, all pretty cool stuff. So there is a look at the 2020 schedule. And it is just, again, one of these steps that we're talking about, the transition here to 2021, getting there. The schedule is one of those things that was going to change and really change the future of the sport. And that is the first step in that section. Looking forward to seeing how it continues to play out. All right, when we get back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track. Formula One is in action right now as we're on the air. We'll give you an update if you're not watching that. Also, a couple modified races yesterday down south. We'll talk about that, and you can take your phone calls, too, at 803-0551, 888-552-550. Your thoughts on the schedule? Watkins Glen moving ahead 2 weeks. What else do you want to talk about with schedule changes? What do you like? What do you don't like? Feel free to chime in here at 803-0550. We get back on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:50 here on WGR's Fast Track. Wrapping up this week's edition. F1 in action right now on ESPN2 at Bahrain, the Grand Prix of Bahrain. And Ferrari swept the front row in qualifying. Charles Leclerc, first ever pull in F1. And he currently leads the race. And I'm sorry, they just cut to a replay, so I can't see the standings at the moment. But it was an all-Ferrari front row at Leclerc and Vettel. Mercedes had row two. And, they're one and two now. Vettel has gotten around Hamilton during that commercial break. So it's Leclerc, Vettel, Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen for Red Bull right now running out the top five. Daniel Ricciardo running in sixth. Nico Hülkenberg in seventh. He's having a great battle with Kimi Räikkönen. They were just showing a minute ago. That was pretty interesting. Lando Norris for McLaren is ninth. And Pierre Gasly for Red Bull right now rounding out the top 10. Right now at Bahrain, they're on 24 of 57 laps. That is over on ESPN2. If you need something to watch here before NASCAR today, that is live right now. So thank you for the tweets. People enjoying the action watching that this morning, bringing that to our attention. Modified racing, we had a couple races down south. They were the NASCAR Modified Tour held their second race of the year at South this time at South Boston. Ronnie Silk picked up the win, his first NASCAR Modified win in a couple of years, getting the win over Chase Dowling. Jimmy Blewett, Kyle Bonsignor, Burt Meyers running out the top five. Patrick Emmerling, another deep run for Patrick. He did it in the opener, too, at Myrtle Beach. Qualified 19th, but wound up 7th. And kind of the same story for Tommy Catalano, who started up near the front. He qualified 3rd in the opener, but didn't fare well. And fortunately, again, for Tommy, same story. Qualified on the pole, led the first lap of the race, but unfortunately came home 17th, but did pick up his first career NASCAR Modified pole, finishing 17th. Brother Timmy had some engine problems, dropped out early on. He finished 27th yesterday. So now they've got their two South races to kick off the season with Myrtle Beach and South Boston. Next weekend is the traditional icebreaker at Thompson, followed up at the end of April with the Sizzler at Stafford Springs for the NASCAR Modified Tour before they take take off on the rest of their 2019 schedule. And then there was a modified race actually at Richmond International Raceway yesterday. It was supposed to be last fall, but it got rained out and it got scheduled to this weekend. And unfortunately, I think the modified count hurt because of the fact that the NASCAR cars were at South Boston. So they only had 10 modified show up. But Matt Hirschman was there, and Matt picked up the win over Andy Seiss, who was driving the Too Quick House car owned by Ricky Kluth, built and owned by Ricky Kluth out of Rochester. Bobby Miesmer finishing third. Jimmy Zacharias fourth. Brian Dozet rounded out the top five again, but only 10 modifieds there. Richmond on top of some other racing they had there. Late models, mini stocks, some other stuff they had there at Richmond this weekend. Scary incident in the late model race. They were under some kind of red flag, and a crew member hopped the wall and threw stuff at one of the other competitors and then tried to climb in the window, and the guy took off and the guy fell out of the car. That's you can find that on Twitter. That was pretty scary stuff. Unfortunately, just another example of why you should not run out on the racetrack even under a red flag. Also, great finish yesterday in the K&N West Series race at Irwindale, which still remains open despite every year it seems like their story of its demise and then it never comes to be. Irwindale still open, and Trevor Huddleston picked up the win, an amazing last lap finish challenging former drag racer Tanner Gray. They crossed the finish line side by side. Huddleston got the win, and then he proceeded to wipe out going into turn one on the cool down lap. I don't think Tanner took him out or anything after the checkered. He just was probably just so pumped from winning, he just lost the handle and backed it into the turn one wall. But great to see that Irwindale racetrack continues to live on despite it was supposed to have closed like five times by now. They keep selling the property sold, but the developer just doesn't do anything with it, so they just let them keep open it every year. It wasn't even supposed to open for this year. It's crazy. But some regional racing going on out there. Coming up this weekend here locally, no on-track action as of yet, but if you want to see race cars, but they're just standing still and they're inside of a shopping mall, next weekend is the annual car show at the Outlet Mall in Niagara Falls for Ransomville Speedway. They'll be there all weekend, Friday to Sunday. Saturday is a fun day. They've got a kids coloring contest. They've got a driver autograph session at 6 o'clock. And then the Miss Ransomville contest following that up. So if you're looking for something to do next weekend and you're in Niagara Falls, go check out the Ransomville Car Show out at the Outlet Mall there in the Falls. I'll be there on Saturday night, so hopefully see you as well, too. But yeah, I'm going to re-listen to that quote from Michael and look, part of me is like, oh my God, he's breaking news that they're building a dirt track on my show. And part of me is like, is he pulling my leg? And tomorrow is April 1st. But still, crazy stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more Fast Track here on WGR.